The most important detail in this entire case does not begin with a body. It begins with a gun. On September 19, 2024, 2 days before Utah National Guardsman Matthew Johnson was last seen alive, his wife Jennifer Gledhill showed a loaded firearm to the man she was having an extramarital affair with. According to the Salt Lake County District Attorney's official press release, filed October 14, 2024, the weapon she displayed that evening was a Glock 19X, green and tan in color, loaded. 2 days later, according to the same charging documents, her husband was shot in the head with that weapon as he slept in their shared bed in Cottonwood Heights, Utah. That sequence is not inference. It is not speculative reconstruction. It is documented in the formal charging materials filed by Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill, and it defines the trajectory of this case before a single search warrant had been executed. The informant saw the gun on September 19th. He heard the full confession on September 22nd. When investigators later searched the home of Gledhill's parents, they found the Glock 19X gun box wrapped inside a child's onesie, tucked into a plastic tote near the bedroom where Gledhill slept when she stayed there. Jennifer Gledhill has pleaded not guilty to all 9 felony charges filed against her. No verdict has been rendered as of this recording. Every allegation in this episode comes from official court documents, the Salt Lake County District Attorney's press release, verified law enforcement statements, and confirmed reporting from People Magazine, Court TV, KUTV, Fox 13, and the ABC4 affiliate in Salt Lake City. I am not guessing at anything here. The record is extensive enough that guessing would be redundant. Matthew Johnson was 51 years old. He served with the Utah National Guard. He and Gledhill had 3 children together, ages 11, 7, and 5, according to charging documents cited by multiple verified outlets. By the summer of 2024, the marriage had deteriorated into what court filings characterize as a contentious divorce and custody dispute. A temporary protective order had been obtained against Johnson in late August. It was later removed. Prosecutors argued during the February 2025 bail hearing that Gledhill was calculating in her timing. Their specific position was that just days after the temporary order was lifted, she arranged for the children to stay at her parents' home during the evening. Johnson was killed and then asked her parents to keep the children an additional day, presumably while she cleaned the home and disposed of the body. That is the detail that does not close. Matthew Johnson's body has never been found. No recovered remains. No confirmed burial site. As of March 2026, the location of his grave is unknown to law enforcement, his family, his guard colleagues, the investigators who built this case around blood and GPS data, and a recorded confession. None of them know where he is. The location exists only in Gledhill's account, and that account was given not to police, not to a lawyer, but to the man she was sleeping with just before midnight on September 22, 2024. That gap between what is alleged and what has been physically recovered runs through every layer of this prosecution. 3 days before Johnson was last seen, on September 18, 2024, Gruel Hill sent a text message to her father, Thomas Gruel Hill, that read, "According to an unsealed search warrant obtained and confirmed by Fox 13, KUTV, ABC4, and further verified by People Magazine, I need $13,000 by Friday." Thomas Gledhill transferred $1,000 to his daughter via Venmo the following day, September 19th. That same day, according to the Salt Lake County District Attorney's official press release, Gledhill showed her lover the loaded Glock 19X. On September 20th, 2024, Johnson came home. According to the Salt Lake County District Attorney's press release, he confronted Gledhill because he had learned she was sleeping with someone else. That confrontation is documented through the informant's later account, which detectives recorded and cited in the charging materials. September 20th was the last day Matthew Johnson was seen alive by anyone other than prosecutors allege, his wife. The following morning, September 21st, the evidence record begins to move on its own. GPS data from Gledhill's phone, cited explicitly in the Salt Lake County District Attorney's official press release, shows that on September 21, 2024, she traveled to the location where Johnson's truck was later recovered. At approximately 6 in the morning, that places her device at the truck's eventual location, hours before the truck was reported abandoned, hours before Johnson was reported missing, on the same day she would allegedly have been disposing of a body. That afternoon, the phone placed her in Davis County until it was turned off at 2:37 in the afternoon. The phone came back on around 5 in the evening as it tracked her traveling eastbound on the West Davis Corridor, that geographic arc from the Cottonwood Heights home outward to Davis County and back, ran on the same day and along the same directional path. Prosecutors allege she traveled when she buried Matthew Johnson north of their home, to be precise about what the record shows. This is GPS data from the defendant's phone. It tracks movement. It does not provide visual confirmation of what occurred at each location, but it corroborates the directional account given to police by the informant, and it places the phone at the truck's location before that location was publicly significant, that evening, at 11:07 at night, on September 21st. Surveillance cameras at a Holiday Oil car wash on Highland Drive in Salt Lake County recorded Gled Hill's vehicle pulling in. According to the district attorney's press release, she thoroughly cleaned the vehicle and opened all of the doors. She left the car wash at 11:07. She arrived at the informant's home 40 minutes later, at 11:47 that night. Call records obtained by investigators showed that Gled Hill had not attempted to contact Matthew Johnson after September 21st. Not once. Not on the 21st. Not on the 22nd. Not on any day across the week before she reported him missing to police. The informant began cooperating with law enforcement around September 28, 2024. He told investigators that when Gled Hill arrived at his home late on the night of September 22nd, she described what she had done in specific detail. According to the Salt Lake County District Attorney's official press release, she told him she had placed Johnson's body inside a rooftop storage container, slid it down the stairs of their home, loaded it into the back of their minivan, driven north, dug a hole, and buried him in a shallow grave. She told him she had smashed Johnson's phone. She told him she had moved his truck to a nearby neighborhood. The informant told police he observed bruises across her body during that visit. When he asked about them, she told him they came from moving the body and cleaning the house. He had not simply listened and stayed quiet. According to People magazine and multiple verified outlets citing the court record, the informant had been preserving evidence throughout his interactions with Gled Hill following the killing. Screenshots of text messages, audio recordings of phone calls between himself and Gled Hill. He turned all of it over to police. Now consider what the physical evidence recovered from the home actually showed. When investigators executed the search warrant on the Cottonwood Heights residence, the mattress on the bed in the master bedroom was new. According to the district attorney's official press release, detectives found reddish-brown spots on the wall, the bed frame, and the blinds of the master bedroom. The wall behind the bed had been covered in bleach. A circular pattern on the carpet below the right side of the bed, near the head, tested positive for human blood. That blood was later typed to a single male source. DNA comparison testing to match that source against Matthew Johnson's DNA was still underway as of the filing of charges in October 2024. The new mattress was sitting on top of the blood-stained frame. The bleach was on the walls above the stain. The carpet below the bed had been cleaned with carpet cleaning supplies found at the scene. This is not circumstantial suggestion. This is documented forensic corroboration of a specific location described in a specific confession. A neighbor gave police a statement about September 24, 2024, 3 days after Johnson was last seen. She said she watched Gled Hill's parents inside the home that day, cleaning. They did not leave until 11 at night. When detectives later confronted Rosalie Gled Hill about being at the home, she told police she had only been there for an hour. She also confirmed to investigators that she had purchased a mattress from Amazon at her daughter's request. Thomas Gled Hill told police he could not remember the details of the day, except that he had been at the house for a short time. When detectives specifically pressed him on whether he had entered the master bedroom, his response, documented word for word in the district attorney's press release, was this: "I did not go in where the incident happened." That phrase, "where the incident happened," is not the language of a man who did not know what the bedroom meant. On October 24, 2024, Thomas Gledhill, 70 years old, and Rosalie Gledhill, 67 years old, were arrested in separate traffic stops in Salt Lake County, according to a Cottonwood Heights Police Department press release, shared publicly and confirmed by People Magazine and Court TV. Both were charged with multiple first-degree felony counts of obstruction of justice. Police stated publicly at the time of their arrest that the parents had not cooperated with efforts to locate Johnson's body. Jennifer Gledhill was arrested on October 2, 2024. 12 days later, Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill filed 9 felony charges against her. 1 count of first-degree felony murder, 5 counts of second-degree felony obstruction of justice, 1 count of third-degree felony desecration of a human body, 1 count of third-degree felony witness tampering, and 1 count of second-degree felony possession with intent to distribute. She pleaded not guilty to all 9 charges. A judge denied her bail request. She has been held without bail in the Salt Lake County Jail since October 2024. Her 3 children were placed with the Utah Division of Child and Family Services following her arrest, and a no-contact order was issued, prohibiting her from communicating with them during the pretrial period. Trial was originally scheduled for December 2025. As of March 2026, proceedings have been delayed following the emergence of new evidence that prompted the evidentiary hearing to be rescheduled into March. During a court appearance covered by Yahoo News and KUTV, Gledhill's defense withdrew their motion to restrict the audio recordings the prosecution intends to use at trial. The judge addressed Gledhill directly in open court and confirmed her understanding of the withdrawal. She consented. A pretrial conference was scheduled for April 2026. No new trial date had been publicly set as of this recording. Matthew Johnson's body has not been found. His 3 children are in state custody. The gun box is in evidence. The recordings are going to trial. The burial site remains unlocated. A father of 3, a member of the Utah National Guard, exists in the physical record as a blood stain beneath a replaced mattress and a cell phone that stopped being used on September 21, 2024. The question that this trial will have to answer in open court, through evidence and testimony, rather than through the account of one man who was handed a confession, is this: at what point did the people closest to Jennifer Gledhill cross from knowing something was wrong to becoming part of what happened next? And what does it mean for the case against her that the only person who chose to act was the one she trusted enough to tell the truth?